Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's the Monday Morning Podcast
for Monday, October
6th, 2014. Hello, it's me. I haven't podcast for a long, long time. Actually, it was last Monday in the morning. Doo-doo-boo. It's important to be. Hey, what's going on? How are you? As you can tell, I screamed and yelled all this fucking weekend, and that only means one thing. Oh, Billy Redface had a stand-up gig. If you're new to my podcast, well, why does your voice get raspy after you have a show? Because I don't know how to write a joke. So what I have to do is I have to scream my ideas. I have to use the F word, right and left and left and right, you know, and then make silly faces. I was actually up in San Francisco. If you're going to San Francisco, I'm going to put some flowers in your hair. Yeah, and some change in your pockets for the fucking 9,000 homeless people they have up there. Jesus Christ, just inundated with them. You know what was great? It was towards the end of the month, and two great things. Wait, that doesn't make sense. The beginning of the month was back when you wouldn't see the homeless people in San Francisco because they actually gave them a stipend, which was a little bit of money so they could get them off the fucking streets, you know? Like, these fucking people know how to handle money. If they knew how to handle money, they wouldn't have been homeless. Hey, this guy sucks at math. I know. Let's give him an algebra book. All right, see ya, fella. Good luck with that. We're not going to teach you on any level. That's not even true. That's even worse. That example doesn't even make sense. That wasn't the correct example. Because if somebody sucks with money and you just give them money, you know, if somebody sucks at math, you give them an algebra book, they could actually learn about math. How do you just give somebody some math? Give them a bag of numbers. Whatever. You know what I'm trying to say. All right? And even if you don't, I don't know that you don't, because you can't call into this show. All right? The phone lines, the non-existent phone lines cannot light up. Trying to write down Alabama so I don't forget to talk about them this week. Alabama! The dream ended this weekend. Anyway, so I was up there in San Francisco. And I was working Davies Symphony Hall, and I had a great time. And you know, my favorite part of the fucking weekend was Jason Lawhead, Rose Bowl tailgate legend. Jason Lawhead, before he's going to bring me out, he's like, what do you want? I should turn on the fucking air conditioning. Can you hear that stupid thing rattling? I tried to tell her, you know, you try to tell your wife you don't want something. And what are they fucking doing anyways? Because they think that they know, I know what's good for them. I know what's good for them. Hang on, I got to shut this fucking thing off. All right, I'm back. Unfucking believable. I swear to God, they you know, for all their bitch moaning and complaining they do on all those fucking yap-yapping shows there, you know. I know, well, what's better than one woman running her yap? Well, let's get three others and have them all sit around with their shoes, you know. Yap, yap, yapping about all the fucking shit that's going on. Are those shows, by the way, The View, The Talk, and all those, are those like women's versions of like a guy watching those stupid pregame NFL shows? You know, rather than four broads, you got fucking four meathead guys in their suits. You know, it's a bubble screen. John Gruden says fucking bubble screen. One more goddamn time this fucking week. I got it. It's a bubble screen. There's a screen and there's a bubble and he's got an option. And they're going to fucking have the lineman go this way and see what they do is they think it's a run. Okay? Then he has this option over here. If he wants to, he can throw it back against the field over this guy over here. If he does, he can keep the fucking ball and he can try to run it. But the key is the quarterback has to understand when to make a decision to either release the ball or to hold on to it. I'll tell you what, when you start doing something like that, that's when good things will be happening in the National Football League. So just all of that dumb shit that I just fucking said that I don't need to know. I don't need to know any of that. I don't need to know what a fucking bubble screen is to watch a goddamn game.
It's a hot read. It's a hot read. It comes up on the line. It's a fucking hot. Is it a hot read?
It's a hot read.
Why can't it just be he goes up to the line, and if he sees something, yeah, let's fucking do it. And if he doesn't, let's just stick with the play. It's a hot read on a bubble screen in a cover two. Tango, Sierra, Alpha.
Anyway, so I'm up there in San Francisco, and for once, I was up there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and it was beautiful weather every single day. 85 degrees, 80 degrees, global warming at its finest, right? This is how miserable the fucking weather is in San Francisco. Most places don't have air conditioning because they don't fucking need it. They're in California and they don't need air conditioning. All right? Why don't you wrap your little fucking podcasting listening brain around that? All right? Actually, when you think about it, California goes pretty much almost the entire coast of the west coast of the continental United States, the lower 48 anyways. So I guess at some point, right, you got to be as far north as like Wyoming. I know they get snow. But I know people in Wyoming got to have fucking air conditioning. Does anybody in Wyoming listen to this? Are you out there right now on a horse, just sitting there staring at cattle, trying to figure out what's out there that keeps killing one of your cows every fucking 8 days? Sitting there arguing with your buddies. Look at the bite mark. Look at the bite marks there. That ain't no fucking coyote. Coyote can't kill a fucking cow, you dumb son of a bitch. You know where you get that from? You get that from your mother. I knew she was fucking dumb the moment I looked down at her boots, all right? But her tits were hanging out. My favorite song was on the jukebox, so I said, fuck it. I ain't got nothing in the back of my truck. I'll lay her down there, stick my Coors Light on her forehead, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to put her right in there. The next thing you know, she starts calling me up on my CB. Come in there, good buddy. My stomach's getting bigger, and I ain't been eating shit. I think I'm pregnant. And I'm like, well, ain't this a son of a bitch? All right? Unless Jesus is coming back again as a baby, it must be mine. So here you are. Here you are. Half a fucking stupid telling me that a goddamn coyote killed his fucking cow. Now, I'm going to tell you one more time that it was a pack of wolves. And if you keep having that dumb look on your face, I swear to fucking God, I'm going to shoot you on my own goddamn property. Is that understood? Ah, quit your crying. You're just like your mother. If you're out there in Wyoming, all right? Yeah, I know you got air conditioning. You might not have teeth, but I know you have air conditioning. I'm sorry. Why do I keep doing this? You know what's funny about Wyoming? A lot of it is fucking rich people who've gone out there and bought property like Ted fucking Turner. Like Ted Turner, I think, can ride his horse from the border of the United States and Mexico and ride his fucking horse all the way up to Canada. At least that's his goal without ever not being on his own property, you know? And like most driven men, at any point does he even think about the fucking horse that does not want to walk, gallop, or trot, all the things that horses do, shit in public. It doesn't want to do... it doesn't want to do that. It never wanted you on its back to begin with. Why the fuck would it want you on its back? Jesus Christ, you're Ted Turner. You can't afford a robot horse? Huh? With your Jeopardy mustache? Having said all that, great investment. I got to tell you that Ted Turner, you know, when it comes to money, he understands it. You know, it'd be great if Ted Turner just walked up to a homeless guy. And rather than explain money to him,
just started yelling at him about money, dressing him down, you know, like a head coach pissed off at his fucking starting quarterback who's making a bunch of mistakes, right? And his job is like right on the bubble, you know, if he just came walking up to the homeless guy, throws a fucking clipboard down at his feet after he sees the guy buy some fucking heroin with a bunch of nickels. I don't got any need to yell again. All right, I'm sorry. Just set up a total comedy scenario, and now I'm bailing. All right? I'm fucking rolling right out of it. You know why? I can't do a Ted Turner. I don't even know what he sounds like. When I picture him, I picture Norm MacDonald when he used to imitate that guy who used to hold the pen and run for president, Bob Dole. Hey, I'm Bob Dole. That's how I picture Ted Turner talking. Ted Turner talking, a new talk show. He's so fucking rich, he doesn't have any guests. All right, so anyways, I go up to San Francisco, and the weather's beautiful. And, you know, I got some family and friends up there. We fucking hang out. What did we do? What did we do Friday night? Oh, I went out to this unbelievable Italian restaurant. And I actually have been craving a pork chop for a while. For years, actually. I'm not going to lie to you. I got a great pork chop. Why does that word sound so annoying? Pork chop. At this restaurant out here in LA. And it was so fucking unbelievably good. All right. So unbelievably fucking
tender
that I came back like 10 days later going, I got to get this pork chop again. Pork chops and applesauce. Gee, Alice, that's swell, right? Brady Bunch reference there. Pork chops and applesauce. Gee, Alice, that's swell. And I went back and they had taken it off the menu. And then I ordered something else and it sucked. In fact, everything sucked. The offense sucked. The defense sucked. We sucked. The whole meal stunk. So I went years just thinking about this fucking pork chop. Waiting for the right fucking restaurant. With the right level of quality of food that if it was on the goddamn menu, I was going to order it. There's not a lot of nice restaurants will serve you a fucking pork chop. You know, your choices are usually, you know, steak, some sort of chicken, fish, maybe lamb. All right. They might do a pulled pork. They might do a pig ear fucking sandwich, a brisket or whatever, but to try to get somebody to make a fucking pork chop. All right. The way that your mother never did. Cause who's kidding who? Who's kidding who? Moms do not know how to cook pork chops. All right. As my dad would say, Christ, you cooked the shit out of it. Right. They cooked the shit out of it. Which is very easy to do with pork. I don't know why. But it's very easy for that thing to taste like one of the fucking tiles that's on the floor of your kitchen. So anyways, I went to this restaurant. This Italian restaurant that had homemade fucking pasta. One of my favorites. And I saw that pork chop and I said, fuck that pasta. All right there, Luigi. You tell Clemenza in the kitchen, I don't eat his fucking pasta. All right? I want a fucking pork chop. So I ordered this pork chop. I got a side of pasta. The pasta was fucking outstanding. And I know like most shows like Anthony Bourdain would tell you what fucking restaurant he went to. I don't do that. You know why? Because I want to be able to go back there without standing in any sort of a fucking line. So why don't you go to San Francisco and figure it out for yourself? That would be my cooking show. Do you like how arrogant I am? Anthony Bourdain has this huge fucking millions and millions of fans watching his show. I just got, you know, I got a couple thousand fans listening to this fucking thing. And I want to make sure I can't say the names of things on my podcast. The crush of people that will be showing up to get a fucking pork chop and goddamn. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. All right. I just thought this whole fucking thing just shut off. And when I set it back down, I'm doing this right as I woke up. You know how many times that's happened to me? Like I go to restart it and then I fucking riff for 20 minutes and I look and the fucking recorder's off and I'm like, oh my God. Just like I just said, oh my, are you fucking kidding? I got to do it all over again. I had that really funny character from Wyoming. I'll never be able to recreate it. All right, good. I just fucking panicked. And you know what? That brings me to a fucking unbelievable story that I got to talk about later. Let me finish with the pork chop. Then I'll do a little bit of advertising. All right, that's your second course. All right, and the dessert will be my little fucking story about panicking. That will not be enjoyable to listen to. It absolutely terrified me. All right, so I order this fucking pork chop. Absolutely delicious. Absolutely fucking delicious. You know? And, what was I talking about? Yeah, and I'm not going to tell you where I got it. Not only would I never tell you if I know, I can't even remember the name of it. So now I'm fucked. I don't know. Who gives a shit? You heard me trying to remember the name of fucking X-Men. That's a goddamn zillion-dollar movie. I'm going to remember the name of a restaurant. The fuck was it called? There was a number in it. I remember that. Ah, Jesus Christ. This is when the cops would just put away their little fucking, you know, that little pad that they write on. They probably have an iPad now. Can you describe what he looked like? I don't know. Why don't you go fucking look at the security footage? We're in the middle of nowhere. Well, fucking call up the drone company. I'm sure they were watching something. Fucking nerd weirdos jerking off to the top of my head. All right, let's do a little bit of advertising here for this week, everybody. All right. Oh, no. What is going on with this shit? Come on, Bill. For Christ's fucking sakes. All right, I swear to God. Me Undies. Right, Me Undies. I swear to God, this is the name of a company. Me Undies, everybody. It's unbelievable how putting on a great pair of underwear changes your entire outlook for the day. That is not a joke. You know that feeling of putting on that ratty old saggy underwear? I want you to know the feeling of wearing great-fitting, great-looking underwear that's cupping your balls there. This is ridiculous. You need to know about MeUndies.com. MeUndies has the most comfortable underwear you have ever tried on. They fit perfectly. They don't ride up on you. And they literally pull moisture away from your skin. Gross! They pull moisture away from your skin all day so you're cool all day long. But here's the thing. They also make you look great. They give your package a nice profile. Go to MeUndies.com and check out the pics of all the different styles of underwear. Oh, I know I'm going to do that. I don't know about you guys. And for the ladies, check out those hot-looking boy shorts. Men and women, nothing like suggesting you might have a dick. Men and women, high-quality materials for your high-quality materials, if you know what I mean. The price, glad you didn't ask. A fraction of what typical high-end underwear designers charge. Here, I'll help you out. Go to MeUndies.com/Burr and get 20% off your first order. 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/Burr. And right now, you'll even get free shipping in the U.S. and Canada. Well, you know what? I got to go. I got to see MeUndies. MeUndies.com. Let me check out MeUndies. MeUndies, MeUndies, cupping my fucking balls. Ba-doop, boop, boop, MeUndies. MeUndies, does that chick have a dick? All right, hang on. MeUndies, men. Yep, those are underwear. Men's pajama pants, men's French Terry slim sweatpants, unisex French Terry sweatshorts. They got boxer briefs, they got trunk, and they got the men's brief. You know what? I got to tell you, those things look comfortable as hell. I owe them apology. You guys got to go to MeUndies, MeUndies. Cup your motherfucking balls. Ba-doop, boop, boop. MeUndies, MeUndies. Hey, does that chick have a dick? All right. Dollar Shave Club, everyone. Guys, dollarshaveclub.com. I've been talking to you about them for years. They deliver great raises for a few bucks a month. And if you're not a member yet, what's your hold up? Think they'll hit you with a bunch of fees? DollarShaveClub.com has no fees. You just pay for the razors, and they ship them right to you, and that's it. Get their four-blade razor and four replacement blades sent to your door each month for $6, including shipping. This is the greatest thing ever. And you know it's the greatest thing ever. It's because some of the other big fucking razor companies are trying to do what these guys have been doing. All right? You got to stick with Dollar Shave Club. What would you rather see, Led Zeppelin or the people imitating Led Zeppelin? All right? You don't want to get locked into a monthly commitment. DollarShaveClub.com doesn't have any contracts. And if you decide you don't want razors for a month or two, they won't send you any, and you don't pay a dime. They're bending over backwards for you here, people. Don't know if you like their products. I already told you their stuff is amazing, but if you don't agree, DollarShaveClub.com will refund your money. No questions asked. Stop with the excuses. Unless you're some idiot who likes wasting his money, go sign up at DollarShaveClub.com/Burr right now. I'm telling you it's great. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. See right there? That's how you run a company. That's how you run it. No contract, no fees. Hey, you need some this month? You don't? We got you. You don't want them? We won't send them. You want to leave? See you later. Thanks for stopping by. That's the way you do it, instead of ramming it down your throat like a fucking cell phone company. All right, one more. Evoice.com, everybody. Oh, I love that, the flexibility that owning your own business provides. Look at me. I've created an empire with this show. Have I? I don't know. That's what the copy says. But when it comes to handling business calls, you're stuck with a challenge. Either hire a full-time receptionist or handle all of your calls yourself. It's a lose-lose. That's why I love eVoice. They will set your business up with a toll-free number or a local number. Toll-free number or a local number. That's what I was trying to say. Sorry about that. When customers call, they're greeted professionally by a virtual receptionist that will route your call to wherever you are. There's even a dial-by-name directory. You're going to sound like a Fortune 500 company, and more importantly, you'll never miss an important call again, all for under 13 bucks a month. Okay, look at this. You got yourself your underwear, you got a free shave, and now you're going to sound like you got a giant company. I mean, look at this advertising. It's just streamlined. Okay, right now, for a limited time, my listeners can try evoice.com. Can try eVoice for free for 60 days. Seriously, my listeners get an extended 60-day trial to test drive this amazing business tool. That is right, 60 days for our listeners. Go to evoice.com/Bill right now to sign up. Set up your eVoice 60-day extended free trial now at evoice.com/Bill. That's evoice.com/Bill. All right, let's get back to the fucking podcast. All right, where the hell are we? Oh, yeah, so I go up to San Francisco, and I got this great pork chop and smoked a cigar at the top of one of those goddamn hills and called it a night. And, oh, my God, I almost forgot about the fucking steam room. I got to tell you about the fucking steam room. I got to make sure I remember to tell you that. All right, so let's just get to the show. So I go over to Davies Symphony Hall. Beautiful venue. Bunch of people showed up. And so before I go out on stage or whatever, before we're starting the show, Jason Lawhead goes, "Hey, Bill," he's like, "what do you want me to say about you?" And I was like, "You know, I might have seen him on Netflix, Letterman." And he goes, "You want me to hype the new special?" And I said, "Yeah, if you don't mind doing that." He said, "Absolutely. When's it come out? What's it called?" I said, "It comes out December 5th on Netflix, and it's called I'm Sorry You Feel That Way." And he goes, "Okay, all right, cool." And then 5 minutes later, he goes, "Hey, what's your special called again? I keep thinking, why do I do this?" I go, "It's called I'm Sorry You Feel This Way." He goes, "Okay, I got it. And I looked at him. I go, "Jay." He's like, "What?" I go, "You're going to fuck this up." And he goes, "No, I'm not. I'm a professional." And he laughs and he leaves. So he goes out and he does his thing. He gets to his closing bit. It crushes, right? And I'm like, okay, you know, I'm in the bubble. I'm getting ready to get brought out. So I'm ready to get brought out. And I'm waiting for him, you know, to do his little fighting out of the red corner. He stands at 5'10". He can't get a tan. He's got freckles on his ass. He is the reigning, right? But he doesn't do that. He just starts talking. He finished his fucking act like he always does. He kills like he always does. And now he's supposed to fucking bring me up. And instead of bringing me up, he starts yammering all and on. Going, you know, it's been great out here to be here in San Francisco. Beautiful weather today. You know, me and Bill were out there sampling some of the local fare. Blah, 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 blah. And he just starts just not telling jokes, not really telling a story, just sort of vaguely describing the day. Yeah, it was about 82 degrees out there, barometric pressure. And I'm sitting there going, what the fuck is this guy doing? And then he just goes, all right, you guys ready for the man you came to see? You know, he is, he's got a special coming out on Netflix. And then he just looks over at me and he goes, he's like, I can't remember what it's called. And then I fucking died laughing. Cause then I realized what he was doing. He wasn't even talking to the crowd. He was just saying English words that they'd understand as in his brain. He was going, what the fuck is it called? So I went out there and for 5 minutes just trashed him for saying sampling some of the local fare. And looking back, I should have trashed the crowd for not immediately heckling him for saying fucking sampling some of the local fare. What the fuck does that mean? Do you realize what a creepy fucking expression that is? Sampling the local fare. Anybody who just blew into town could be talking about anything from getting something to eat to being a fucking serial rapist. And I was sampling some of the local fare. You know, that's something like Hannibal Lecter would say if he fucking took a bite out of your neck. So I went out there and tried a bunch of new shit, and it seemed to work. And then we did, it was just a perfect show, man. That first show was just awesome, right? Not saying the second one wasn't, but I had such a funny moment during the show where I'm in the middle of my act, and the Giants, you know, they're in the playoffs, and I'm in the middle of one of my jokes, and I have no idea what's going on in the game. And all of a sudden, this guy just yells out in the upper deck. He just goes, 2-1 Giants! And the crowd just fucking erupts into cheers. So I immediately do the math. I'm like, San Francisco Giants, it's fucking October. That's right. I've been watching some of the, but it's the playoffs. And I was like, all right, I can't get mad at that. You Giants fans, you want to be watching the games, but you fucking bought tickets to my show. So, you know, you're going to do a little multitasking there. So I said, all right, 2-1. And I was like, what inning is it? And the crowd starts yelling. You know, when a bunch of people are yelling and you're standing up on stage, the sound bounces off the wall behind you. And it can be very hard to understand what people are saying. So I was like, what inning is it? And they're like, hey, hey. I'm like, what? What inning? They're like, hey, Jay. And I'm like, I can't hear you. And they go, hey, Jay. And I'm going, 80? Like, 80? Come on. What? Just fucking hold up your fingers. And they kept yelling out. And it sounded like they were saying 18. I go, you know what? It sounds like you're saying 18. What inning? Just one person. One person was holding up 7 fingers. So I was like, the 7th? And they were like, 18. That's what it kept sounding like. I kept going, it keeps sounding like you're saying the 18th. A minute. 90 excruciating seconds of this until I find out they were actually saying 18. It was the fucking 18th inning. The Nationals scored a run in like the 3rd fucking inning to go up 1-0. And then the Giants scored one in the top of the 9th to tie it up, or the bottom of the 9th. Oh no, top of the 9th. That's right. It was in Washington. To tie it at 1-1, and then they didn't score again until the fucking top of the 18th, and neither did the Nationals. The Nationals went 15 fucking innings without scoring a run. The Giants played a whole nother baseball game before they scored another fucking run. And Unfucking believable. And you know what? It's if that happened in the middle of July, you'd want to kill yourself. But if it happens in October, it's unbelievable. You know, for as much shit as people give me as a hockey fan, why do you watch the regular season? It doesn't even count. Everybody makes it but like four fucking teams. It's like, yeah, but there's exciting games. They're allowed to fight, okay? There's great things that can happen, you know? Baseball, on the other fucking hand, other than the beginning in April where you're excited because it's a new season, other than that, I mean, it's fucking brutal until you get to October. And I would put baseball playoffs right up playoffs. I put it up there with any other fucking playoffs. I love October baseball. This is the best time of fucking year. October playoff baseball, National Football League. The National Football League has been going on long enough where you're starting to know who's going to be competitive and who isn't. And then hockey's coming up. And then right after that, basketball. It's unfucking believable. It's unbelievable. My life is perfect. And I actually watched that first Cardinals-Dodgers game. I didn't see game two. I watched game one, and I am 100% convinced that Donnie Baseball is cursed. I mean, they had their ace. What's the guy? Kershaw? I don't even know. I don't even watch baseball. I have no fucking idea. And all I do is I just keep hearing about this guy that he's basically having like a season better than Pedro Martinez in like 1999. I'm like, I got to watch this guy. And I start watching the game. And I know the Dodgers have that unbelievable right fielder. He's like fucking Willie Mays on steroids. Not literally steroids, but, you know, people are just bigger now. And so he gets drilled in the fucking arm when he's up there. And I guess the Cardinals were doing that shit last year. So all of a sudden, the next guy comes up there, first baseman, who's like my height. He gets in the face of fucking some guy named Benji. I don't know anybody's name anymore. They start fucking screaming at each other. And I was totally hooked. I was into it. The fucking Dodgers were up 6-2. Going into the seventh or eighth fucking inning. All right? I think Clayton Kershaw is the name of the pitcher. I have no fucking idea. But now they all have beards and all that crazy shit. They all stole it from the Red Sox, who stole it from the homeless guys, right? And, you know, they got their fucking ace. Guy's got, what was it, 6-1 or 6-2? He's got a 4-run fucking lead. The goddamn game is over. All of a sudden, he loads up the bases. There's a single, 6-3. There's another single, 6-4. Donnie Baseball comes walking out like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? And the little bearded wonder goes, hey, I may not be able to grow a man's beard, but I know how to get out of this fucking inning. All right? I'm only at 100 pitches. I won the Cy Young Award. I won every fucking award you can win as a goddamn pitcher. I got this, Donnie. And Donnie Baseball makes the right choice. Abso-fucking-lutely. This is the move to make. We got to win game one. We got to do it on your arm, right? Fucking comes up. This other fucking dude who owns him, this is the worst fucking sports coverage ever. I don't know anybody's name. He fucking hits a goddamn double that just clears the bases. 3-run score. 6-5, 6-6. Now it's 6-7. They're down by a fucking run, and they got a man on second. Now Donnie Baseball comes out, pulls this fucking kid. Brings in this fucking palooka. He comes in, serves up a fucucking meatball. It's in to left center field. Into the track. Unbelievable. Right? That's got to be the St. Louis fucking announcer. They score two more runs. It is now 9-6. They started the inning 6-2. Up 4 fucking runs. With the greatest pitcher of the last 15 fucking years. By the end of the inning, they are down by 3 runs. How does that happen? You know how bad I'm rooting for the Dodgers to win? There's so many teams that I love this year. Kansas City, you got to love that they're back in it. The Baltimore Orioles, you got to love that they're back in it. You know? And Don Mattingly, you got to want that guy to win a fucking, win a ring. And then you got the Giants. I mean, you know, they've just won 2. I mean, I like seeing a fucking dynasty. Or whatever the fuck they would be called. It's great, right? Just a lot of fucking teams to root for. And then they're sitting there suggesting that maybe the Cardinals are stealing signs from second base and that they have a reputation for doing that. And once I found out that's not illegal, it's like I fucking love these guys. Even if it was illegal, that's the kind of cheating that you got to respect. You know, if you can look over at your fucking neighbor's paper and they're smarter than you are, you know, are you really cheating or are you just delegating power? Anyways, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So I watched that whole game beside myself. I just can't fucking believe it. And the thing about Don Mattingly, he's such a class act. And he just sits there expressionless. And you know it's just ripping his fucking heart out. I want to see that guy get a ring so goddamn bad. If he doesn't, I would love to see either the Royals or the Orioles. Because when I first started watching playoff baseball, it was always the Royals would always win the West. And they could not get past the Yankees. And then there was... they finally got by him in 1980. And then lost to the Phillies with Pete Rose at first base, dribbling the ball up to the pitcher on the fucking AstroTurf. And the Orioles, I saw them win it in 83 in the first World Series, well, the third World Series that I watched, 1979, the Orioles versus the Pirates. So I was hoping the Pirates were going to win their one-game playoff and maybe I could have a rematch in 1979. And then they'd bring back, "We are family, woo-hoo-hoo, hi-hee-hoo." Sorry. Anyways, so I watched that shit. So I'm rooting for Donnie Baseball. So anyway, so I'm watching that shit. Then I go out and I go do my show, smoke a cigar. And one of the greatest things you can do after you smoke a cigar is besides take a fucking shower and gargle with mouthwash for an hour, you're still going to wake up with that taste in the back of your throat. So if you have access to a steam shower, you go down and you take a steam and you fucking sweat out all the impurities. And then you're good to go. You go out, you fucking jump in a cold shower. A lot of people don't know how to take a fucking steam. You know, they fucking go into the steam, sweat their fucking nuts off, and then they walk out and they stand there. Oh God, it's hot as shit. And they just stand there, and then they fucking go back in, and then they come back out, and then they go, "I got one more session in me." And they fucking go back in again. Morons. Fucking morons. All right? This is how you take a steam. You just stay in there for like 10 minutes. That's all you need. And as you're in there for 10 minutes, be wiping the fucking sweat off of you. Your body is when you sweat, it's releasing toxins. Your skin is like a sponge. If you let it sit there on you, okay, you're going to fucking reabsorb some of it as you're sitting there in the fucking steam shower. These fucking guys do that. Then you're supposed to walk out of the steam shower and immediately walk in and take an ice cold shower immediately. So your pores stay closed and you wash off as much of the fucking toxins that you sweated out as possible. And you will feel like a fucking $1 million. All right. And all you need to do is just be in the ice cold water for like, you know, whatever, 5-6 seconds. However long it takes you to fucking hose off your body. And then you can turn it on to an acceptable temperature. And then you're good to go. And you always wear flip-flops so you don't get fucking plantar's warts or athlete's foot or any other fucking awful bacteria that's in the goddamn, you know, thing there, right? So, anyways, the fucking, what was I going to say? So we fucking go there. I walk in, I'm with Lawhead, and I walk in to see if there's anybody in the steam shower. And I walk... And there's the sauna, which is just the dry heat. And I look in there, and there is this Asian dude completely fucking naked. Okay, he had the decency to put his arm in front of his junk as I walked by, kind of like Burt Reynolds when he did the fucking, the Playgirl, whatever, the Playgirl centerfold or whatever the fuck he did. So I'm like, oh, God. A naked Asian. An Asian. We got an Asian in there, Lawhead. And he's like, and we're just sitting. I mean, he's sitting there butt-ass naked on the fucking seat that someone else has to sit on. It's fucking unbelievable. So me and Lawhead, you know, because I was walking in to make sure that the steam was on. So then we fucking come walking back in. And as we walk back in, the naked Asian, the Nasian there is had gone into the shower. He knew to take the cold shower, and he just comes walking out completely fucking naked. All right? So I'm laughing. There's always the fucking naked guy. All right? So then I open the sauna, and no. I fucked up. As we go, that's right. Then we go back to the lockers. We change. Now we're walking back in. We're laughing about the naked Asian dude. And right as we go to turn the fucking corner to go into the sauna, like the fucking Truman Show, four people walk in front of us and go right into the sauna. And there's this little fuck, I mean the steam room. It's this little ass fucking steam room. And they all fucking go in there. And I'm thinking, oh man, maybe there'll be enough room. And I open the door and they're all just fucking sitting there. It's just a nice guy, packed house, whatever. These guys will just be in here for 10 minutes. So me and Lawhead go back and we're just sitting there and we're laughing about the naked Asian dude, right? Long story short, these fucking jerk-offs are in this goddamn steam room and they're doing that shit where they're coming out, so fucking hot, and then drinking water, letting it all reabsorb. And they're just going back in. They're in there for like a fucking half hour. So finally me and Lawhead are like, fuck. We got to go and, like, you know, we want to go watch the football. What the fuck are we going to do? You know, what are our options? You got all fucking 20 sweaty bald guys in there. Or we go in with the Nasian in the sauna. So we say, well, the naked Asian guy had left. At least we thought he did. So then we go into the sauna. And who comes fucking walking back? The naked Asian. But now he's got a fucking towel on. Now he sits down. Me and Jay are fucking wearing towels. Thank God, generally speaking, they come from a polite culture. So he leaves his towel on. So I'm thinking, all right, we're good here. We're fucking good here. And I'm sitting there. And the sauna, the sauna isn't hot enough. So the door hasn't clouded up. So we're just sitting there. We can see right out the door. And all of a sudden, this other naked guy, completely fucking naked, comes walking out of the fucking the steam thing. Just butt-ass naked. And is standing there like fucking Will Ferrell in Old School at the water fountain. Bending over, getting a goddamn drink. And me and Jay are just laughing our asses off. Staring down at the floor going, what the fuck is going on? And then the naked Asian guy crosses his fucking legs and starts cracking his toes in the ungodly silence in this fucking sauna as this fucking Will Ferrell ass is in front of us. We're just like, I can't fucking believe it, right? So then we're sitting there and we got this, like I said, the window isn't fogged up. Then this fucking World War II vet comes walking by completely fucking naked. You know, the Greatest Generation, they never put a towel on. He comes fucking walking by, old man, balls and dick and everything. And we, at this point, we're just fucking, there's nothing to do to just start laughing. And another guy comes walking and he has a robe on, another tub of shit. And he goes into the steam. And finally, we're like, look, if we just don't fucking walk in there, we're never going to be able to take a steam. And I fucking hate a sauna. I don't like the dry heat. I like the other thing. So we finally come walking in there. All right. And as I walk in, I see a place where I can sit down. This is all fogged up. And I see out of the corner of my eye, there's someone else sitting there, no towel on, dick and balls hanging out. So I go to shoot the guy a dirty look. And who is it? It's the naked Asian. I thought he left. He didn't. He left, got in the shower, and then fucking went back in there. Fucking nightmare. So then we're sitting in there. All right. The Will Ferrell naked dude, two fat fucks and the naked Asian, and me and Jay Lawhead are sitting in there, right? And the football guys, now they're running their yaps, totally killing any sort of relaxing, just sort of chilling out. Anyway, as relaxed as you can be with fucking, you know, naked guys all around you. And they're sitting there, they, you know, former athletes, talking about sports and some sort of benefit that they were doing. Oh, man, Arizona was unbelievable. It was just hookers everywhere, and people drinking, blah, 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 blah. Kids, guys telling the story. It was some sort of benefit for kids. And in the end, he goes, you know, but it's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. Fucking Jerkoff starts the story talking about hookers. Anyways, long story short, it finally ends up just being the two of us in there. And we're just laughing our covered balls off. I've never seen it like that, ever. Look, like, if you go to any sort of fucking gym, any sort of locker room, there's going to be the naked guy, the guy just standing there, right? And for you ladies out there, you'd probably think that, well, it's got to be the well-endowed guy showing off his fucking goddamn mule, right? It usually isn't. It's usually just fucking some average guy, regular old fucking user-friendly dick just standing there, you know? Like the kind of package that they always make when they're like sculptors make, you know? They never make like a fucking huge dick statue. They don't. They just draw a regular old dick. That's what it usually is. And there's usually one of them. And you just sit there going, ah, there's always one. Why the fuck? Does he fucking not notice he's the only fucking naked dude in here? For Christ's sake, cover yourself, right? But there's always that one guy. Unless you go to the YMCA. Then there's usually about three because there's older people there. I never seen a fucking dick and ball display like this in my life. I'm fucking believable. We were joking. We were waiting for what's-his-face, Uncle Milty, to come walking in. Anyways, so that's the dick and ball story. So, plowing ahead here. Oh, I actually said that I was going to tell you a fucking, a goddamn creepy story here. And I got to wrap this podcast up because I got, you know, old Billy's got a day job now. Tell you what, I'll read the rest of the advertising and then I'll tell you this fucking terrifying story that I read while on a plane. All right, stamps.com, everybody. Computers are designed to make running a business easier, including your mailing and shipping. Just use stamps.com to get 24-hour access to the post office right from your computer. No waiting in line, no hassles, man. Stamps.com makes mailing and shipping easy. Just use the computer and printer you already have to get official U.S. postage for any letter or any package. Print the postage directly onto envelopes, labels, and even paper, even plain paper. Then hand it to your mail carrier. There's no guesswork. Stamps.com will send you a digital scale that automatically calculates the exact postage you need for any class of mail. You'll never have to go to the post office again. I use Stamps.com to send out all my Billy Red State t-shirts, my posters, whatever I'm selling. Right now, use my last name, Burr, B-U-R-R, for this special offer, no risk trial, plus a $110 bonus offer that includes a digital scale and up to $55 free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Burr, B-U-R-R. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right, Hulu Plus, everyone. You've probably tried Hulu on your computer. Hulu Plus is so much more. With Hulu Plus, you can watch shows on your schedule. Hulu Plus has all of your favorite shows like The Cosmos, A Spacetime Odyssey, Bob's Burgers, or Undateable, starring Chris D'Elia. And watch every episode of shows like South Park, The Cosby Show, or Doctor Who. Hulu Plus works on your computer, smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, pretty much any streaming device you already own. You should be blocking off a day to just binge. With Hulu Plus, you're in total control to stream with these and thousands more, as much as you want, whenever you want. Also, get exclusive access to stream the Criterion Collection movies, and Hulu Plus has all of them. All movies and kid shows are ad-free, too. For only $7.99 a month, get your shows anytime, anywhere. But right now, I'm offering my listeners a two-week free trial when you go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. That's a whole extra week for absolutely free. Please make sure you use HuluPlus.com/Bill so you get an extended free trial and so that they know that we sent you. All right? It helps us to keep the lights on. It gives you a better deal. One more time for the extended free trial, HuluPlus.com/Bill. All right. So, the terrifying story that I have been teasing you guys about over the last couple of, minutes here. So anyways, the shows went great in San Francisco, and we're flying back, and my wife bought Vanity Fair, I think. I don't know. It's the magazine where Robert Downey Jr. is on the cover, and he looks like he's leaning out of the porthole of a ship dressed in a tuxedo. It makes you think, are they remaking the Titanic? It's one of those photos. So she says, hey, you ought to, you know, she knows I'm a fan, obviously. The guy's an unbelievable fucking actor. And she goes, hey, this is a great article. You ought to read it. So I'm looking in the table of contents. You know, it's one of those magazines you got to go buy 50 pages of advertisements. Before
you know, you get to the actual story. And so the table of contents. So I found the table of contents. And there was this story about this flight that was flying from Brazil to Paris, France. And it was talking about technology and how this thing just basically fell out of the fucking sky because the pilots, it was the perfect storm of not communicating, getting confused, a malfunction in the system, and these guys not being able to recover. It was you know what the malfunction was? Basically, they were flying out, and the captain, he'd only got an hour's sleep, and he wanted to go take a nap. They had some thunderstorms or whatever, a line of storm clouds coming up. They're flying at 36,000 feet, and this guy wanted to climb up to 38, which is basically the ceiling that that plane could fly at safely, because at that point, the air is going to be too thin, and I would assume that the engine has to work too hard to suck in the air, suck, squeeze, bang, blow, whatever the fuck they say, how jet engine works. And they said that the guy sounded nervous, and it was this weird thing where the guy had, like, the co-pilot had, like, over 2,500 hours, which is a significant amount of time, flying a fucking, this type of an airplane, but most of it was just sitting there while it was on autopilot. And this was kind of the point of the article where how just through the whole timeline of aviation, back in the day, you just had stick and rudder guys and they just flew the fucking thing. And then gradually they worked in these automated systems and the pilots were arguing against them saying there's nothing better than a thinking human being. And then these automated systems got so good that the basically accidents and everything went through the floor. And it became way safer to fly, and the automated systems took over. But now they've gotten to the point where, I don't know, they're saying that they can actually be dangerous. So basically what happened was the captain went to go take a nap, and then this other guy goes and he sits down. And there was a miscommunication as to who the pilot in command was or who was in command or whatever. And they don't even have sticks anymore up there. They have like a joystick that you move, and then the system interprets the movement. Like, not instantly. It has to have that split second where it interprets it, and then it acts on whatever movement you did. And the joysticks can't move at the same time. Like, say if both people in both both seats up there, if one was to move the joystick to the right and the other was to move it all the way to the left, what the computer would do would split the difference on the movement. And I don't know. It just basically all that happened was they went into this storm and the air was cold enough where the water droplets had formed into ice crystals and it blocked their pitot tube. The pitot tube is, you know, is on all aircraft. It's just a tube that points towards the front of the aircraft. And as you fly, as the air is coming in, that's how you figure out your airspeed. So what happened was they flew through this ice. Ice went into the pitot tube. It froze it up so the air couldn't go in anymore. So they no longer could – they lost their airspeed indicator. So they immediately lost that. All right? And they had the lights on in the cabin. They're out over the ocean. There must have been – there must have not been any moonlight or anything. So basically, they couldn't see a horizon. All right? But all they had to do was just look at that little plane thing that just lets you know if you're level or not. And for some reason, when they lost their airspeed indicator, they then lost all faith in the entire fucking system. And the nervous Nelly guy who wanted to climb, you know, above the storm, he wanted to fly at the absolute height. His immediate instinct was he started pulling moving the joystick back. And if you lose all faith in your instruments and you don't have any horizon to look at, you don't know where the fuck you're at.
And this dude was panicking, so he pulled the stick back too far, and it got to the point where they were going to stall. And I forget, it's such a long fucking article, and it's really involved. So the other guy starts going, no, what are you doing? What are you doing? Do this, do this. And he starts moving his thing. And then the computer is going dual input, meaning that they're both moving the fucking thing. So they start going up and down, and they basically, the fucking nervous Nelly, he pulls it all the way back, and they start feeling the airplane starts rocking. And that's that point where you're going to stall, because at that point, the airfoil is so far back, you're going to lose lift, and the air is just tumbling over the it's like all of a sudden now you might as well have a fucking two pieces of plywood like flying into the fucking wind. So they start losing altitude. So they see that they're losing altitude. They're basically starting to fall out of the fucking sky. And what kills me is in part of this, as they started to drop, they started to basically fall out of the fucking sky and not recognizing the sound of basically as the air's rolling over the fucking wind, over the wings there, that they were going to stall. They were so in their head looking at the fucking screens going, what the fuck? This thing's going haywire. Where are we? They panicked. And this fucking guy kept pulling back. He pulled back the fucking joystick so far, they almost got to a 46-degree angle, they said. It was so far back that the computer didn't even recognize that as an input that would be possible because no one would do it. So it stopped saying stall, that thing that's, you know, or pull up. Wouldn't say pull up there. It stopped warning that they were going to stall. So then it got quiet, and they're literally just falling out of the fucking sky. They were falling at like 10,000 feet per minute at one point. Okay, so do the fucking math. They're like 36,000 feet up. They're falling 10,000. You got 3 minutes before you're going to hit the deck, right? So these fucking guys, the one guy goes, no, level the nose. So he goes to level it off from 46 degrees to start bringing it back down to something that the computer could actually understand. And as he brings it down again, it starts going stall, stall, stall. So he pulled back again so it would stop saying that shit. And then they're calling the captain, and the captain finally goes up there, and now he's come in the middle of this fucking crisis. He doesn't know what's going on. He at no point was informed that the pitot tube was frozen. And at this point, they had lost so much altitude that they were down into warmer air, and it unfroze, and it was their airspeed indicator was actually fucking working, but they had no faith in it. And these guys were basically falling out of the fucking sky. And this is the scariest thing. When they get to 12,000 feet, that was the last moment that they had where they could have just pushed the joystick forward and started a dive, and that they would, at the speed that they were falling, that they would have had enough time to try to restart those engines and fucking pull back up again, you know, and basically buzz the surface of the fucking water. And they kept falling. They were falling at one point 15,000 feet per minute. And the whole thing, they just basically pancaked into the ocean in a perfectly good airplane because their pitot tubes froze and because they panicked and because I guess most of their hours is just sitting there letting something else fly the fucking plane. I'd never heard of this story. I believe it's in Vanity Fair. I can't believe I just said all this shit and I can't even tell you. Yeah, and of course I'm reading this on a flight. And I remember at the end of my flight, this babyface looking dude gets out. Babyface to me, I'm 46. He looked like he wasn't even 30. And you know, he's doing this simple flight, San Francisco to LA, nice quick flight, but whatever. You know, we're flying commercial airline. We're flying all the way up there. And but it was during the day. So that was one thing that was actually keeping me calm. I'm like, even if the pitot tubes were to freeze up, this guy can still see the horizon. But anyways, man, it was absolutely terrifying. And they were writing the dialogue of the shit that they were saying. And every input that they would like describe what the plane was doing, what they should have done. And then they would write out the dialogue of what they did and what they said. And I'm telling you, dude, my fucking heart was in my throat. So for someone who flies all the fucking time, you know, that wasn't a very fun article to be reading.
Shit, I got to end this fucking podcast. I didn't even get into any of the questions for this week. Really, really quickly, the Patriots came back against the Bengals. And I know a lot of people are now going to go all the way to the other side. Oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl. I don't think the Patriots were the team that lost to the Chiefs. And I don't think they were necessarily that team last night. I think they're somewhere in the middle. I'm hoping they're more towards the team that beat the Bengals. But I think we got a couple more brutal losses in us. You saw what happened when Revis went down. And I hate to say it, but he gets injured a lot. The second he got injured, they fucking scored in goddamn 2-3 plays. But you know what's amazing about Darrell Revis? Even the fact that he's on our fucking team and that I'm actually cheering for that guy who I always respected, but I hate him because he was a Jet. He's only 29 years old. I had no idea. He seems like he's been in the league forever, and he also looks like he's like 37. All right, let's plow ahead in. The Jets, Jesus Christ, J-E-T-S, Jets. They're in a fucking bad way, man. They are in a bad goddamn way. I didn't see that one. I watched the Cowboys, Texans, which was a great game. I saw a little bit of the Bills game. Big win for them. How about the Cleveland Browns coming back? And also the Saints. A lot of great games. Those 1 o'clock games were fucking insane this week. But I got to plow ahead here. Let me just read some of your questions, and then I'll get out of here. Aussie with an idea. Bill, how about you shoot your next special in Australia? You draw huge crowds here. And when was the last time someone shot a special down here? You know what? I did this last one down south. I kind of like taping them a different place. I don't know. How the fuck? What kind of cameras do you guys have over there? Do you guys make movies over there? Or do you wait for us to make them for you? That would be my big question. Do you have the latest in fucking the technology? Because then maybe, you know, maybe I would. Nah, I wouldn't. Hey, Bill, why don't you get on a plane and fly 14 hours and have jet lag and then do your fucking special? I'm not going to do that. I will definitely be touring your country, though. We're looking at January. All right. Car. Dear Billy Oil Rag, I want to get an old car and learn to fix it. Every time I ask someone what make and model year I should buy, they give me horrible answers. Can you please narrow it down to 2 or 3 cars from the late 60s to the early mid-70s that would be a great car to work on? I know there are a ton of answers, just looking for a place to start. I have a little experience with parts and repair, but not a lot. That's why I want to dive right in and learn. Thanks. Well, look, you want to call, I would ask Christopher Titus. He could give you that answer. But I would tell you what I would do if I was you. All right? What I would do is I would buy an old fucking engine. All right? I would buy that fucking thing whatever that engine mount thing is that you can have. Not engine mount. That thing where you can just have it on a rotisserie. All right? And I would take that entire fucking thing apart and rebuild that engine. All right? I might even do that a couple of fucking times. Just so I got it down. So that's how I would learn. Don't go out and go buy a whole fucking car. Just go buy a fucking engine. Just take the, you know, what would you do? You'd remove the carburetor, then you got the intake manifold, then you got the valve covers, then you got the valves. Take all of that shit off. Then you're down to your fucking, your pistons, right? I'm not good with the electrical or anything like that, but you go all the way, you know, camshaft, all the way down to the crankshaft. And if you just start over, even if you just put the thing back to fucking together, with the old shit, although probably you'll probably have a problem trying to get some of the shit off. You might break something, but I would just do that. And I would buy, if you could, buy a 4-cylinder. I'd look at it the same way I learned how to tune drums. You start with your smallest drum that had the fewest amount of lugs, so it was easier to tune because you couldn't make that many mistakes. So I would actually, if you can't buy an old 4-cylinder engine at a junkyard, I would buy an old 6-cylinder. Then you only have 6 cylinders you got to worry about. Or you could just buy the 8-cylinder, and then you got to do everything 8 fucking times, and you're going to be that much better at it. And I think once you fucking tear down an engine and then just build the thing back up, even if you did it a couple, 2-3 times, I mean, I think that's the way to go. 2-3 times, just buy an old engine, buy the whole fucking kit on how to replace everything, go through the hell of fucking getting it apart and shit being stuck and frozen and all gooped together. Get that whole fucking thing torn apart and then rebuild the thing. Make all your fucking mistakes and then do it again.
and then do it again, and then do it again, and then do it again, and then go out and buy the fucking car you want to buy. You know? I mean, dude, you can buy an old piece of shit fucking engine for a couple hundred bucks. And then go buy whatever. I forget how much I was going to do this if I ever had fucking time in my life. I think that that's the way to go about doing it. Rather than buying a whole goddamn car that's going to have all kinds of other fucking problems. If you just learn how to do basically the heart of the goddamn engine, I really feel like all of a sudden the rest of the car is not going to be nearly as intimidating. Maybe the transmission could get a little scary, but that's another thing too. Go out and buy a fucking transmission. Take it apart, rebuild it, put it back together, do it again, do it again, do it again. Sorry, the battery's just crapped out on me there. Now I'm fucking late and I got to get going here. So yeah, that's what I would do if you want to learn how to fix up a car. I mean, that's basic what I would do. Maybe if, you know, people who are into cars, gearheads out there, if you know a better way to go about it, which I'm sure you do, but that's basic what I would do. But if you are going to buy a car, man, I don't know. I would maybe, what are those cars that always had the slant six that everybody says like the greatest engine and the easiest thing to work on? You know, everything's like right in a row, all the spark plugs, all of that stuff is like right there. I would work with Dodge Darts. I think usually had those, the lower level models. I don't know. I don't know cars to that level, but, that is on, you know, I would like to do that at some point. Just take apart a whole engine and then rebuild it and put it back together. Even if I didn't put it in something, just sell it or something and give it to somebody else. Because I think that's cool as hell to know how to do something like that. If I just had the fucking time in my life. And speaking of time, I don't have any time here. So I got to jump off here. Thanks to everybody listening to the podcast. And thanks to everybody in San Francisco. It was ridiculous the amount of people that showed up. I had a great time. And I appreciate you guys listening to the new material as I'm working it out. I have a new special, as I mentioned before, coming out on Netflix December 5th called I'm Sorry You Feel That Way. And, oh, by the way, my new comedy album, Vinyl, live at Andrew's House, is available for purchase on my website. And for those of you who would like to donate to this podcast, an easy way to do it is if you're going to buy something on Amazon. Just swing by BillBurr.com first, click on the podcast page, click on the link. I know it's a bit of a pain in the ass. Do it if you want to. If you don't, I get it. And it takes you right to Amazon, and I'll get credit for driving traffic there. It won't cost you any extra money. And whatever you buy, they give me like a percentage of whatever. That's basically how it works. All right, that's it. That's the podcast. Go fuck yourselves. I will talk to you next week.